The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. We have a big coaching hire. Well, there's one of those pretty much every day. And a bunch of coaches who are jive turkeys. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call or text or tweet or face paint or use smoke signals or send a raven or whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds this is going to be a fun show today, Hoffman?
I feel pretty good. I'm going to go 72%.
And I feel like 85% today.
Whoa.
I'm in a really good mood, really fired up. Cannot wait to do the show today.
All right.
And in a great workout, managed to pick up some terrific beer today. That always puts me in a good mood.
That's a good thing.
You land some stuff that you didn't expect to get. So that always does it. But, yeah. So what's going on with you, man?
Sports and stuff like that. What's up with you, Freddie?
About the same. About the same.
More. You're feeling good, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you feeling in the holiday spirit? Is that what it is?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm really bad at that. I don't really get in the holiday spirit until the last minute.
Okay.
And I think it's just overload because, and now they start before Thanksgiving.
Right.
You start getting all the commercials and, you know, of course, car antlers and stuff like that.
So I love the car antlers.
Yeah. God. Yeah, right.
You noted that yesterday.
Well. I did give exceptions, right?
Yeah.
That's fair. But I really don't get into it until right before. It's usually when I get around the kids. And
did you already get their Christmas presents and everything?
Well, my daughter's Christmas present was me sending her to Japan. She's just going to have to live with that.
Well, that's not a bad gift.
Yeah.
Is she aware of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get her something anyway just because that's what I do. But, yeah, that was her trip. She just took a school trip to Japan for spring break next year.
Not a bad deal.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of jealous. I've never been. It's one of those places I've wanted to go, so just told her I better
tag
be
along.
Nah, that's
daughters love that.
Nah, yeah, she's at that age now where that's the last thing she wants is me.
Yeah, girls love having their dad around.
Yeah, I could just see it now. I say, Dad, would you please quit getting drunk and hitting on my teacher? You're embarrassing me.
Dad, this is your 18th sake.
Dad, quit trying to bang all the Japanese girls. Yeah, so. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody asked me what beer did I get, BBH Cherry or the Bishop's Barrel 16. I got those Monday. And now this was there's some Avery available out there that isn't going to be available anymore that they happen to have that I grabbed a bunch of. And I got a Black Ops 2013.
Nice.
That's my favorite year of Black Ops. So I'm pretty happy with all that. That is going to get attacked tonight.
Good
I have
for
a feeling.
You.
Yeah, what do you do with your kids? I mean, you guys load them up still, right? They're at that age where you have to.
Yeah.
You just everybody spoils the hell out of them.
Yeah, my parents. I mean, it's absurd. They spoil the hell out of those kids. We spoil them less than my parents do because I mean, my kids don't really need stuff.
You know?
And as they need stuff, we get it for them.
You right.
Know? So, it's all crap that they want and. You know, how much stuff do they really?
Can you cheat and get him stuff like your son needs baseball stuff? Can you get him stuff like that for Christmas, or does that have
yes.
to be bought separately? Okay,
no,
that's good.
That's stuff you can get him for Christmas.
Because that's,
I mean, there's some stuff like he needed new cleats a month ago. That was something that we couldn't really wait till Christmas,
right?
So, but yeah, he's getting a bunch of baseball stuff and. Really, paying for his baseball every month should be his gift. It's good Lord. It gets out of control once you get him on these these select travel teams.
Yeah.
Oh, it is not a cheap sport to play.
No, the only thing worse than that is hockey, because we have a bunch of friends and family members, and they get the same thing. They get those kids on those select tours up there.
You got to pay rink fees and stuff like that, I'm sure.
And you know, the sticks are – a stick costs as much as a baseball bat and all the other equipment, and you have to keep them up with the best stuff and skates and everything else. But baseball, it's not much different, man. Bats and gloves, and you can't have the same cleats for too long. And you're playing year-round. That's an investment.
Yep.
But the good news is, 15 years from now, when he's leading off of the Astros and paying all your bills.
My kid's the slowest kid in the world. I don't think he's ever going to be leading off anyway.
When he's batting ninth for the Astros and paying some of your bills.
Okay, yeah, maybe that.
That'll be good. A couple little news items today right off the bat. The LSU Tigers have an offensive coordinator.
They do.
Boy, I know he had a really good year at Pitt.
I thought we talked about this yesterday.
We did, but it's official today.
Okay.
But I kind of went back and did a little more research on him, and I think this is one hell of a hire, the more I look at it. This guy he's had success at places like Wisconsin running the ball. He's the one that got Jacoby Brissett to have such a big year at North Carolina State. Pitt improved incredibly this year, and they finally have themselves a guy who can put some offense up for him. And then he'll be a head coach, because
we'll see.
Now, quarterback is always going to be the issue. But he's done a good job of developing quarterbacks, so maybe if they can just get somebody on campus who doesn't suck, they can get a lot. He's gotten more out of his guys than the prior coaches did. That's always a sign of a good coach.
How many times have they gone through and been excited about an offensive coordinator?
Every single time.
And then they're like, oh, this is the one.
Yeah.
We got our guy, and then it never really works out that way.
Well, if it works out, he becomes Jimbo Fisher and goes and gets a big job.
Right.
And if it doesn't work out, he becomes Cam Cameron, and he's whacked halfway through the season. But I think,
you remember how excited people were about Cam Cameron when he came?
Yeah. Well, that was – Les couldn't help but put his thing in it. You know, he had to. That's what he did. And I don't know what Ed Orgeron's going to be as a head coach, but if he just gets out of the way and lets those guys do their job and recruits like he recruits, that might work. So they should be happy with that hire. We'll see if it works out. It's like anything else. I mean, I feel good about the hire, but
they still got to play football with it.
Yeah, it's December 14th. Yeah. Won't know a lot more by October
of
next year.
The same thing we'll say about Tom Herman. The same thing we'll say about Major Applewhite. It's a matter of if they can actually do the job.
Yeah, yeah.
Some things look good on paper, and then they just don't work out.
Oh, maybe we'll go through this later today. USA Today went and gave grades to all the coaching hires.
Mm-hmm.
Just Herman was like an A-. Care to guess what they gave UH for Applewhite?
I'll go a B, B minus.
Give him a C.
Hmm.
Like, okay. I thought it was a little better than that, at least on the surface, but I think the biggest A they gave, and I would actually agree with this, Charlie Strong. USF hiring Charlie Strong, because that's an A, I think.
Yeah.
And they also had a low grade for Jeff Brohm, which, okay, we shall see. 713-780-ESPN on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. It's just like this. What are the odds Brock Osweiler's a better quarterback next year because of his familiarity with the system? He almost has to be better. I honestly don't think he could play any worse. So I'll go 70% he's better. I don't know if it'll be because of the familiarity with the system. Hopefully they'll get some guys who can actually catch the ball around him and beef up the offensive line, and you'll see some improvement that way. But when you're talking improvement, let's say he has 18 touchdowns and 12 interceptions next year. That's an improvement, and that's not a great season. Even if he's 15 and 12, that's an improvement. So, yeah, I think he'll be better, but if you're – asking, is he going to improve enough to be a good quarterback or even an average quarterback?
Yeah.
I think at this point, I'm not really ready to say he's completely never going to get any better. I think he'll get better. I don't see a whole lot of potential of him being good
right
at this point. 713-780-ESPN, bud. We shall see. All right, guys, want to get in on the action? You know where to go, mybookie.lv. And let's say you put a little action on the football game. You scored a big win. And you got to wait weeks to collect your cash. Don't you hate that? There's nothing more frustrating than that. And I've had websites where I had to wait months sometimes to actually get paid off, especially on a big score. That's why thousands of online players made the switch to MyBookie, including me. MyBookie.lv is an industry-leading website. Offer real Vegas odds, incredible player props, live in-game action with odds updated in real time, and most importantly, those fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. And if you haven't signed up yet, MyBookie will match 50% of your initial deposit up to $3,000. You want to put $3,000 in there, they'll match 50% of it. All you have to do, use promo code FRED to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. Open your account and start winning. Expert or rookie, you got to check out MyBookie.lv. Sign up today. Getting better all the time and turning all against one is an art that's
hard to teach. Another clever word sets off an unsuspected. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. I torture you. Take my hand through the flames. I torture you. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. What Are the Odds Wednesday? Brought to you by our good friends at Deep South Barrels.
How long do you wait before it's... I mean, like, how long should Coug fans still be tweeting me about Texas being scared to play
Okay, guys, move on. That page is turned. That press conference was what, last week when they, or was it Monday? Whenever they came out and said that, I think it was Monday.
Yeah.
No, it was last week. Had to have been, right? I don't remember when it was, but you had 2 days. That's enough. Time to look forward.
I think it was Monday when they introduced Major.
Okay, that's when they said it?
Yeah.
All right, so then all day Monday and then yesterday. Today it's time to move on. It's time to turn the page.
And what does it even matter? The schedule's not going to be until like 2020 or 2024.
No, it's been like 2025,
Chances are good. Yeah, because Texas is full through 2024.
And this is the thing. If Tom Herman's still going to be there, that means Texas is going to be really good.
Exactly.
You do not want to play Texas when they're really good, especially if you're in a conference like the American.
Yeah, if Tom Herman is still there in 2025, that's the last thing UH fan wants, is to see that. Because if he makes it 9 years there, that means he's done pretty damn
all right,
well.
I'll throw this out there. What are the odds he's still there in 2025?
40%?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
I mean, 9 years, that's a long time to make it. And
guys like that have a tendency, if he really hits it big and wins a national championship, that's also a guy I could see wanting a new challenge.
Yeah,
at some point.
Like Urban Meyer kind of did.
Yeah. Or NFL, maybe?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about a national championship and him still there in 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Looking back at the history of Texas football.
Daryl Royal lasted
9 years. Mack Brown lasted 9 years. Fred Akers lasted 9 years.
That's kind of surprising.
Then you're going back to Dana Bible is the only other one that's lasted nine.
Dana X Bible.
Dana X Bible.
You got to put that X in there. Come on.
X going to give it to you. Oh, Fred Akers.
Yeah, you said Fred Akers.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Fred Akers that lasted 10.
Who actually, he had some really good seasons there.
He only had one losing season.
Yeah.
And as soon as he had it, guess what?
Yep.
See ya.
I think they shipped him off to Purdue, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but didn't work out. But, yeah, I mean, you go through it and you see a lot of – I mean, John McAvick lasted 6 years, which, boy, felt like forever.
Yeah.
David McWilliams lasted 5. Charlie Strong just lasted 3. I mean, that's the last 4 coaches. Only one of those 4 has lasted 9 years. And that one coach had probably the best 10-year run in the history of the program. So
yeah. And you know, what we'll see, it's nobody stays anywhere that long anymore, even in these big jobs, because a lot of them burn out.
Yep.
We saw that with Urban at Florida. Dustin says, at this point, when Coug tweets you about UH and UT, it's time to block them. And Dustin's a Coug, so.
Maybe so.
That's a fair point.
From at Coug fans, which, I mean, that's, I don't know if that's, if they have anything
their,
to do with the.
Is that their, I don't know if that's the. Form side
I don't either. And 5_Cougs. I mean, these are all If you've got Cougs in your name, you're probably a little bit biased.
Yeah, I would say this to anybody for any team. Like if you're Cowboy Bob,
right,
or you know Genie the Texan, or Josh Coug, you're probably taking yourself a little too seriously.
And Coug fans is saying, as a player for these high school players, he thinks that the players that go to UT would rather play against UH and say they beat their old high school peers than play games at Michigan or at Ohio State or at USC or at LSU. And that's just not true.
Yeah, you're just being silly now.
For the kids that go to UH, playing against Texas is a big deal.
For any school in Texas, playing against Texas is a big deal. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, and just like playing at A&M is a big deal to schools like UH. But Well,
it's not just UH. You throw Baylor and TCU into the mix, agreed, even though they do it every year. That's a big deal to them.
But the kids that go to Texas and Texas A&M, the kids that they're trying to recruit, and specifically if they're recruiting these kids and the program is going well, those are kids that UH didn't really even have a chance to go after. More often, I mean, obviously there's the exceptions, and the one that's there right now, the All-American at Oliver, is a great exception to that rule. But most of these guys aren't peers necessarily. And that was always the case, was like, and when I worked in Austin, we talked to the guys at Baylor or Texas Tech or SMU, and what they would say is, this is the most meaningful game to us because we want to show them they messed up not recruiting us.
And there's a lot of kids like that, and that's obviously, and when UH is really good most years, it's not because they're getting those kind of kids. It's because they're getting kids that Texas didn't want, that grew 3 inches and they were a little too small maybe to go to a school like that, never got offered, but were good enough to play and wound up turning into really good players. I mean, you can only recruit 25 kids, so you're not going to get everybody. And same thing with A&M. You're not going to get everybody. So there's 150 really good players in this state that are going to wind up at, more than that most years, they're going to wind up at colleges, and some of them you're just going to be wrong about. And, yeah, you have to coach them up too. I don't know why. I'm going to give some therapeutic advice to my Cougar friends. The most important thing in life is quit looking back, okay? It's over. It's done. And I have to say, I've been very supportive of UH's administration and continue to be so. But I think it was a Bush League move to even mention that you made that offer.
It absolutely was.
That was extremely Bush League. It makes you look Bush League, and it riles up fans like this who, frankly, say, oh, well, look, but yeah, the administration said it, and we look up to what they say. Yeah, well, that was a Bush League move, and I don't know if it was Hunter Yurecek or who it was. But
I'll tell you what another Bush League move is, and this one came from Texas's end. And I guess it's not really Texas's fault, it's an attorney, but Bev Kearney's attorney says that the Major Applewhite affair was more serious than Texas admits. And for that to come out right after UH hires him, it just seems petty.
It is. It is. I love this. Spoken like a true UT snob. Once again, you guys, do your bleeping research before you start calling me that. You know what the hell you're talking about. Just look forward. You got a lot of great things to look forward to. You got a fun bowl game coming up. You got one of the best defensive linemen in all of college football is going to be back next year. You got a new coach. Looking ahead to next year's schedule, it's very manageable. This is a team that could be very, very good. Quit worrying about crap like that. It makes you look little. It makes you look like you're back in Conference USA again with the Western Kentuckys of the world. Be better than that. If you want to be big boy, act like a big boy. That's my advice.
Yeah, I could see why both sides would want to play. I could see U of H wanting to play just because of the Herman thing, and also that you're going to get money when you play Texas.
Just like you're going to sell out, just like you did when Oklahoma was here.
And the flip side is, I could see Texas wanting to do it or having some kind of interest because, like we've talked about on the show, they've lost this market to the SEC.
They have.
But they can play Rice at NRG, get way more money for that game because they're going to say that there's way more seats there. What, like that stadium, and Grant, it's a really nice stadium, would be the smallest stadium Texas would play in year.
Yeah.
Well, there's no financial gain to be made. If they want to, they could easily say, okay, let's play we'll play Tulane, we'll play it at NRG. And guess what? That stadium will probably sell out. And they don't need to do a game at UH. And honestly, if UH had said, let's do a game where we'll go to Austin once and then we'll play once at NRG, maybe that opens up the conversation. Maybe. But they wanted to do a home and home. They wanted to have Texas come to their stadium, and Texas just isn't interested in that.
Good luck with that.
I think it's awesome that UH got Oklahoma to come here.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising that they did, but I think it's awesome.
It also makes sense for Oklahoma for the same reasons. You want to keep a presence in this market, which is why I think in the long term, not adding UH to the Big 12 is going to be something that they're going to have to create more games like that, because the SEC is got more than a foothold here now. And I think that's – and you look at the TV ratings, you see it. You look at just some of the stuff that we get, there's a hell of a lot more interest in the SEC.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Texas gets good again, maybe that changes. I mean, that's kind of my thought. But I don't know. And I think it was good that Oklahoma players, good that Oklahoma State played here the year before. Of course, they played Mississippi State, so it didn't really help do anything to get the SEC out of here. But, yeah, I think you – if you're a Big 12 school, you want to get down here as much as possible. I think Tech, it's one of the reasons why Tech is doing a home-and-home with UH. It's a good opportunity to get back in this market and let kids see who you are. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
And then someone, this guy says, I told him, you know, he said something about not wanting to play here, and they don't want to play in those crappy, going to Michigan, getting your butt kicked is no fun. I was like, well, going to SMU and losing is no fun either. Losing period isn't fun, but no one's going to remember no one's going to tell their grandkids about the time they went to SMU or Memphis. Like, if you play a game at Michigan or Ohio State, that's something that's going to be with you forever. That's what those types of kids want. That's where they want to play. And he said, you know, how about Navy, UTSA, and Texas State? Did I miss any? Try again. And then he said, you don't get sarcasm, do you? Because I responded sarcastically saying,
right,
yeah, that's the dream. That's the kid's dream matchups right there. And then I called him a dummy, and he called me arrogant. That's Twitter. This is Twitter now.
It's just like the text. I get this guy 40-plus years of being around and rooting for everything Houston, all a cover story for the UT homer busted, Fred. Yeah, I'll tell you what, 281. I'll tell you what I did that you never did. I sat through every home game of that 0-11 season with season tickets when Dana Dimel was the head coach. You know what you were doing? Probably crawling out of your mother's womb. So yeah,
Fred's diehard.
Yeah, get the bleep out of here, busted, Fred.
Yeah.
No, you know what? You're busted for being a complete bleeping idiot. Congratulations.
That's the thing. It's like
you guys with your Coug this in your name. Well, Coug fan hates me anyway too, so I don't care. But with that in your name, then you might want to check yourself.
That's the thing. You don't have to be a homer or a hater on everything.
Exactly.
You could just be being honest. And like, God, the University of Texas tried to get me fired from a job. Like, I've got no reason to shill for them. That's just what I'm saying is just what reality is. You know, I don't have anything against UH. UH has never tried to get me fired. It is what it is. That's what the real thing is. And if you're Coug fan 104, what I mean, it does. You don't understand that because everything's red to you.
Yeah,
everything's orange. Oh, the whole world is an orange or maroon or red. It's not like that.
This is every fan though. There's that segment of the fan base. There's that segment of the Longhorn fan base that's insufferable. The Aggie fan base,
every one of them has it.
You all have it, and it's all you care about is your team, and you don't look at things realistically.
Twitter's made it worse, though.
Twitter has made it worse. It started with forums. I think that when those forums became a big deal where people could get on there and talk about, oh, the world's out to get us.
But the difference is, like, in the forums, no one could and people used to crap on me in those forums all the time from basically every university, Texas, A&M, Baylor, you name it, that I've been wanted in those things. But they couldn't tag me and, like, make it direct conversation with me. That's why Twitter's worse.
See, like, something called Rolando, who tagged me and poor Fred Davis for some reason, says, y'all full of crap. He's got a UH helmet on there.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, of course we are. Crap. Of course we are. You know what? You know where you can read more UH stuff than you can anywhere else in the city is on my friggin' website. But, yeah, you're right. I hate every one of you bastards. I love them.
So following up on the the Texas, the Avicare kickoff. You know how they always have that big game in energy.
Yeah.
So it looks like next year it's going to be LSU, BYU. And then the following year it's Ole Miss, Texas Tech. So it kind of looks like it's SEC, Big 12 kind of flip every year. There's no nothing for 2019 yet, but 2020 Baylor, Ole Miss.
Okay. I know Texas has, they've got something scheduled with LSU, but I think that's a home and home. I don't think it's at.
Yeah, I think it is a home and home.
I don't think it's at NRG. But, I mean, anytime Texas wants to come play a game here, I don't think that would be a problem for them.
No, it shouldn't be.
But they probably don't want to come play a game at TDECU Field or whatever it is. It's just, there's no benefit to it. There's no draw. All right, guys. Law enforcement is stepping up their efforts with No Refusal Weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, no worries. There's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test, the police gave you a lot of things about those tests you should know about. Police breath test machines, they're not warranted fit for breath testing humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results. Then they destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same as the blood test. A lot of flaws in that blood test. They're not testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above it. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston, experienced in telling the truth about these tests. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. If you failed the breath or blood test, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number to your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Let's try a phone call. Tony, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys. I guess I have to put this in What Are the Odds format, so... I guess, what are the odds that Chris Cyborg finally fights in the UFC, considering they just opened up a 145-pound women's division?
Yeah, how did she not get that first title fight? What's up with that?
Well, the reason she didn't get the title fight is because she did not want to fight in February. She had a lot of problems making weight last time when she was fighting at 140. And it messed up her body. She said that she'd fight in March. She'd fight in the spring. She would be ready. But they wanted to get this match done. And they wanted to have a title fight for it. So instead of waiting for Cyborg, who is without question the best 145 woman in the world. There's not even a sensible... second place. So instead of having Cyborg in the fight in March or April, they want to do this in February. So they're having Jermaine DeRandamy fight Holly Holm, who's coming off two straight losses, and this is a title fight. It makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah.
Holly Holm lost two fights in a row at a lower weight class, so she's going to fight for the 145-pound title.
I admit I've not heard of the other chick.
Most people haven't, Fred. If you're not, like, serious about MMA, that's not a surprise. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. When Ronda Rousey came into the UFC, when they started to have the UFC women's division, Ronda Rousey was named the champion, rightfully so. She had done far and away the most for her weight class. And from then on, she came in as the champion. That should be the case with Cyborg, too. Cyborg should be the champion. And if they want to set up a fight with her, so be it. But for this fake title fight is ridiculous. It's absurd.
Well, and then whoever wins, I guess she'll get the fight. But if it's Holly Holm, at least it's a name. But that didn't make much sense to me. But okay. Dune and Katie says, I was pissed Hunter even disclosed that information. Those were private negotiations. Yeah, I think that was a Bush League move. I'll be the first one to say it. And I would say it to his face if he were sitting right here. I thought that was a Bush League move. And just for a couple of you idiots, and then I'm going to, Tim says, Rice doesn't have insufferable fans. That's true.
They don't really have that many fans
yeah,
either.
They've got a few, you know, friends and family mostly, but they're realistic too. I would just mention that every year when I'm in, when as long as it's not when I'm out of the country, I've missed a couple of them, but I MC the UH luncheon for the Touchdown Club, done it for Tom Herman, done it for Tony Levine, did it for Art one year. And in every case, well, Kevin Sumlin, not Art. In every case, really good fans show up, people who put money in the program, who care about the program. You know who I've never seen there? You, Rolando. You, Coug 866. It's because you're sitting in your basement punching your clown. You know, if you're a real fan, you go to things like that. You put money into the program. You don't sit here and whine to me. Try to tell me stuff. Get the hell out of here. 713-780-ESPN. Harrison says, I can finally remember when a Coug fan forum called for me to be fired from the school newspaper.
Oh, boy. From the Coug newspaper?
Yeah.
The Daily, what's it called?
Daily Cougar.
The Daily Cougar?
I used to write for that.
Yeah, you were a writer there.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever ask to get you fired?
No.
I'm proud in my prior journalism career, someone from every single school tried to get me fired from the Chronicle at one time.
I love that.
I think that means I did a good job.
One of my favorite ones was when we were coming on here trying to get Art Briles to be fired, trying to get Baylor to do the right thing. That Baylor fan site said if Fred and AJ were in an accident on the side of the road, I wouldn't stop to help them. Not at all.
Yeah.
I like that one. If we were dying on the side of the road, they wouldn't help us. It's Mighty Baptist.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah, very good. Those, and I wonder how you feel now. No, wait, it was a witch hunt. It was a witch hunt.
That's true.
Harrison said, and he covered baseball. Wow. People actually care about that?
Apparently. Very serious business.
Chilla Mike, I know it all comes down to if the Patriots want a player or not, but what are the odds the Dolphins make it in? I think they're... I think they got a chance to squeeze in. Give them about a 30% chance right now. I also wonder what you're going to get with Matt Moore. Not that I'm all that crazy about Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
And how bad that injury is. And if he does try to come back, how effective he is. And, you know, I think that's all those things kind of add up. Of the teams that are in the hunt for that wild card, I like them the least, but they may have the easiest path. Squeeze in one more. Matt, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey now.
Hey now, sports.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports.
Sports is going on. All right, so two quick ones. You know, we're talking UT football. What are the odds Wednesday? My wife's an alum, so, you know, watching them this year, I really did feel like they were a team that they always had plenty of talent, but I was always waiting for them to pop, but it never popped. So, you know, Tom Herman's coming in. He's got a track record of proving things of turning things around. So, quick twofer, what are the odds that UT wins over 7 games next year? And, of course, I've got to throw in my Bulldogs, Liberty Bowl, Georgia offense. It's not good this year. We all know it. TCU defense, not very good either. Big 12 defense. So what are the odds Georgia wins the Liberty Bowl? Thanks as always. I'll hang up.
All right.
Isn't that like a one-point spread? Pretty much
50-50. I think
it is
pretty close, yeah.
I kind of like TCU there, but they haven't impressed me either.
I just don't like either one of those teams. I feel like I would lean to Georgia, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
As far as Texas winning 7 games, Tom Herman better hope they win 7 games. I mean,
yeah. If they go 6-6, that's going to be a disappointment, big time.
Oh, no question. Yeah. And there will be panic, and Lord knows what else. Yeah. But I do think that Charlie Strong has left him with a substantial amount of talent that to the point where if Tom Herman can't win 7 games next year, I would question how good of a coach he is.
Yeah.
Because the groceries are stocked, so to speak.
Somebody said, just heard Michael Floyd was released by Arizona. Do you think that'd be a good pickup for the Texans? Let's talk about that when we come back.
I told Fred that at the beginning of the show, and it's a surprise to me. Because that guy can still he can still play a little bit.
Well, there's a lot of guys on the Texans roster who can't.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back because I do think that's a viable question to ask. And we'll have to see if it actually comes to play. But right now, got to tell you about you're in an accident. Maybe you slipped and fell. You're in a truck accident, car accident, have an overtime claim, anything like that. You know what you need to do? You better dial Dave. Call my friends Mestemaker and Straub for free legal advice. You can get free legal advice on any of these things at 713-626-8900. And let me tell you, these guys are committed to you and their client's success. If you've been injured, a lot of times, man, it's hard to focus on your medical treatment. You need to deal with insurance forms and questions, and there's all kinds of things. And look, these insurance companies have lawyers. You need a lawyer. And with Mestemaker and Straub, you're going to have a specialized attorney who will deal with the insurance companies while you go on recovering. And we all are going to get in accidents in this city. We all know how that works, right? Because I've been in them. AJ's been in them. I guarantee you the next one, I'm going to dial Dave because I trust this guy and I know this guy can get it done for me. Don't wait. Call Houston-based Mestemaker and Straub and let them put your mind at rest. 713-626-8900 is the number. Or you can go to lawyerdave.com. That's 713-626-8900. Need help? Better dial Dave.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Tuesday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all you can eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com for a limited time only. You can get $75 off, so get your tickets early. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. And Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, 7 o'clock tonight. And I'm telling you, get in on that party now because those prices are going to go up, and those are going to be hard tickets to get here in about a month.
I just got the email for the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year finalists.
Yeah?
9 finalists. Why do they do that?
I have no idea. But that's the one where they wait till after the bowls, right?
Yeah, it's announced January 11th during an awards banquet at Houston's Toyota Center. Just seem like, I don't know. I feel like I'd go with, like, you could probably narrow it down to 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
You want the list?
Give me the list, and I'll tell you who to cut off.
Okay. Clay Helton.
Not a chance.
Paul Christ.
No.
PJ Fleck.
Yes.
James Franklin.
Yes.
Dana Holgorsen.
No.
I'm going no also. Mike McIntyre, Colorado.
If they had won the Pac-12, yes, but
yeah,
although he did a good job, but yeah, I don't think so.
Nick Saban,
always,
Of course.
Yeah, you just do that. That goes without saying.
I don't know. Bob Stoops, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Dabo Swinney.
Yes.
I feel like that's too many. Even then.
Yeah.
And why isn't Chris Peterson on that list?
Because if I'm not mistaken, that's that one where they have to be there.
Oh.
And
but Nick Saban's not going to come to that.
He's been at it before, but yeah. I could be wrong.
I hate that when award ceremonies do that.
Yeah. I think.
Just give it to the guy who deserves
4 finalists. I could pick 4 finalists out of that group.
I'd go PJ Fleck, Nick Saban. And I probably would have said Chris Peterson. Those 3 guys.
Probably.
Maybe I'll probably throw James Franklin in there too.
But see, they like to have a bunch of people on the podium, so more people come. That's part of it too.
That's the problem. Just don't waste people's time.
So I'm a little surprised that the Cardinals made this move. I guess it's
Well, it's interesting. Here's some of the details on it. And when you hear the – and if for anyone who doesn't know, Michael Floyd caught a DUI. It was not his first. He had one when he was in school at Notre Dame. It kind of affected his draft stock a little bit. He was found unconscious behind the wheel of his running vehicle at a Scottsdale intersection early Monday morning. Nice. Floyd's black Cadillac Escalade set through at least two green light cycles with him passed out behind the wheel before police officers barricaded his SUV between their cars as they prepared to wake him up. The SUV was on and Floyd's foot was on the brake. Floyd initially told officers he was leaving his home in Scottsdale to pick his nephew up from the airport, but his story evolved into him having one drink, and he later said it was two drinks. Police said Floyd's story jumped around between him drinking on the team plane back from Miami and drinking at the W Scottsdale Hotel, but Floyd eventually settled on having had wine, House Cabernet, on the team plane. Floyd also told the officers he was on blood-thinning medication. He's had three alcohol-related brushes with the law at Notre Dame, including a DUI in his final season. Floyd said at that time he was undergoing counseling and had changed the people around him. And then he went on to be a first-round pick. Now, muddying this is a contract year for him. The Arizona picked up his fifth-year option on his rookie deal. And basically he said at the beginning of the season, the ball is in my court. He wanted to make sure he proved that he was worthy of signing a second contract and what seemingly was going to be a pretty big contract. Unfortunately for him, this has not been a great year statistically. 33 catches, 446 yards, and four touchdowns, which those numbers are way worse than what he did last year, and he was hurt most of last year. So this has been a nightmare scenario. Muddying it even further is, in a contract year, he doesn't have an agent right now.
Interesting.
Which I don't get that either. That's probably not wise guys.
He doesn't have a job because he was, that's...
And the Cardinals have cut him. This is a guy who clearly has, I'm not saying you should ever get DUIs. I mean, it's irresponsible. It's stupid.
It can happen.
But it happens. If it happens multiple times, you start to kind of worry if this guy's got a problem.
Well, you need to be scared straight after you have the first one.
I would think so.
But I don't know. Sometimes it takes two.
They said it was Arians, general manager Steve Keim, and Michael Bidwell, the team president. They said it was a unanimous decision to release him. And they said it was very tough, but unanimous. And he'd kind of fallen down the depth chart for them. Larry Fitzgerald, who's had sort of a resurgence this season, or it looked like maybe Larry Fitzgerald was past his prime, and so he's shown this season that he's still got some to give. And then, John Brown's been decent. J.J. Nelson's gotten some run. Yeah. And really, they've been a run-heavy team with David Johnson. And David Johnson is second on the team in targets and receptions out of the backfield. So they've just – Michael Floyd's been sort of just pushed down in the pecking order to the point where maybe they didn't feel like they needed him anymore. And if you realize you're not going to pay this guy a second contract, it saves you a headache of waiting to deal with it. You look like good guys because you're not going to the playoffs and you just cut a guy who just caught a DUI. So you're making an example of him in a year where you've got really nothing to play for with a guy who wasn't going to be back next year and isn't playing that well for you this year. So I think if this were Larry Fitzgerald, would he have been cut? The answer is no. But in this situation, I'm not the least bit surprised that the Cardinals move on from him.
It's too bad that you didn't have a Gary Trichter read here.
It would have been too easy.
Would have been a nice little lead in, right?
Instead,
he'll be sitting at home watching HBO.
I'm guessing that's the case. The HBO, as we know, that's the place for boxing, and HBO's World Championship Boxing ends the year with a historic fight when it returns on this Saturday, December 17th, with a great night of boxing. Boxing legend, future Hall of Famer, friend of the show, Bernard the Executioner Hopkins will hang up his gloves after this. It's going to be his last time in the ring, and he'll take on Joe Smith Jr. in a light heavyweight showdown. Easy for me to say. Don't miss the final one. That's this Saturday, December 17th. Bernard Hopkins has had a fantastic career, 55-7-2 with 32 knockouts. This will be his 23rd appearance on HBO. 49 years old. He's about to be 50. He's going to be in the ring 2 months shy of his 50th birthday, and he steps in as the oldest champion in the history of the sport. He's the oldest boxer to win a world title, defend a world title, unify a weight division. He's one of the greatest middleweights of all time. 20 consecutive middleweight title defenses, and the first champion to unify the belts of all four major sanctioning bodies. He's got wins over De La Hoya, Roy Jones, Antonio Tarver, Felix Trinidad, one of the all-time greats. And Joe Smith Jr. looking to make a name off of him, 22-1 with 18 knockouts of his own. He's hoping to send Bernard Hopkins out on a sour note. That's HBO's World Championship Boxing coming back this Saturday, December 17th, with Bernard Hopkins versus Joe Smith Jr. And you can see it, of course, only on HBO.
I dropped out of high school, stereotypes of a black male misunderstood, and it's still all good.
ESPN 97.5.